Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a Through the Bible edition. We're continuing our series here in Minor Prophets for Interesting Times. And I've never really done a deep study into Zephaniah. I think this is my first time paying attention to this minor prophet. And the Spirit is really moving me through God's Word here. And God does speak through His Word, so I hope everyone that's listening is hearing loud and clear whatever it is that He has to say to you. It's not me. It's the Word of God. You could read it for yourself. Open up your commentaries. I suggest you get eSword. You got a computer or some kind of tablet device or something where you can have a little bit of a screen. Go to e-sword or e-dash, however you want to say it, e-sword.net, e-sword.net, and download the eSword program, and automatically you'll get with it and the King James Version Plus. That's the only Bible version you need. And I also downloaded just the plain King James Version, so for copying, pasting, without all of the Hebrew and Greek numbers. So it comes in handy for that, or just plain reading of the text. But the tools there for the Hebrew and Greek are very good. The Hebrew, and you got to remember, because a lot of people make the mistake, and they think they're using the Hebrew-Greek concordance, and they'll click on a number for a word or a phrase that is translated there in the Authorized King James Version, and they'll think it's a multiple choice, that they can pick any definition they want. But the reason there are multiple definitions is because the words, many of the words and their definition, are context sensitive. So the definition can change with the context. So it's not a pick and choose, and many people are misled by teachers who pick and choose or think it's a multiple choice, and they put in and overthrow the context with the definition from another context and build a whole new doctrine. I've seen it done over and over and lead people astray thereby. Greek and Hebrew concordance is not the Word of God, okay? The Word of God are the words in the English version, and the definitions are context sensitive. And that's why people can read something and then they go, well, the Hebrew says this, so it means something else. Well, usually it doesn't. Usually you can rely upon the King James Version, the translators, that varied group of men who put that text together to have gotten it right. I could draw up some examples, but I don't think we should take time away from this to do that. Maybe someday I'll just have to put together a show on how to use these tools and how not to use them. And I've done that occasionally, so if you listen to enough of my broadcasts, you'll have seen plenty. But I suggest you get the eSword and then download the Henry's Commentaries. And, you know, I used to download a whole bunch of them and different versions of the Bible, and I'd have all those tabs up there and available to me. But, you know, as I get older, I desire to do less those things that are not needful. Let me put it that way. So maybe I realize that my time is valuable, so there's no sense in me wasting my time on things that are not needful. So I just have the Authorized King James Version, the Plus Version, which comes with the eSword, and I have the Matthew Henry Commentaries, and so I forgot all the rest, just not needful. And if they had, like, I think that they should add the Jorge Apocalyptica, and maybe I'll get with Mr. Myers that has published eSword and made it free to those that anyone who wants it. And you can give donations there too if you think it's valuable to yourself. But maybe I'll get with him and see if there's some way we can offer the Jorge Apocalyptica. Okay, well, let's jump back into, because we need to finish up. We're in chapter 3 of Zephaniah at verse 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith Yahuwah, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. And, you know, how fitting for today. And we've gone through, and if you're with me, you've gone through the last prophecy, the study in the Revelation according to the E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalypticae, and you know that the judgment of Mystery Babylon is coming. Also depicted in Daniel chapter 2, the Mystery Babylon image is being judged, because all nations are incorporated into that image. Then finally, the Iron Kingdom, the Roman Empire, first northern, north and divided into a north and south in the legs, and then goes down the feet and 10 toes mixed with iron and mingled with clay. And finally, at the end, it is struck in the feet by the kingdom of God and obliterated and judged. And this is what a picture of what I see in this verse here. He says, "Gonna rise up to the prey, for my determination, saith the Lord, is to gather the nations." And they have been gathered in that Mystery Babylon image, that depiction of all nations coming together as one image in the end time. And how fitting that at the end the people worship the image of that world governing body, the Roman Empire. They worship the image of the beast, that I may assemble all the kingdoms to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language. He doesn't say before then. So we have the whole Hebrew roots movement, and I think there's a lot of idolatry going on there, where they worship everything Jewish. Yeah. Because so much of what is Jewish historically and in Judaism is an abomination to God. That's what we're reading about here. The things that they practice, and the worship of nationality is an idolatry. But he says, then, for then. And see, I'm pinpointing this right now here for you. For then. What is the then here that he's speaking of? What's the antecedent to then? See, it's always in the context. You can't just apply this to whatever you want and say, that's happening now. No, this happens when this happens, and this is spoken of in Israel, Revelation, when Mystery Babylon is judged. It's spoken of in Daniel chapter 2, when the Mystery Babylon image is destroyed at the return of Christ. Then will I turn to the people a pure language. You know, you got those, the practitioners of the Hebrew roots movement, and they start calling themselves Hebrew names, and they spout a lot of Hebrew words, and they worship everything Jewish, and they want to move to the Holy Land and start wearing, you know, the Word of God on their forehead. What do they call those things that they wear on their forehead? I forget for the moment. And doing all that stuff, and they want to sacrifice, and they want to reinstitute the sacrifice. And some of them become very famous. I had a friend in ministry many, many years ago, 20 years ago. His name was Steve Butt. And he had a deliverance ministry, and he went on the radio nationwide. And he was quite notable for... And then one day he discovered his Hebrew roots. He started wearing Hebrew garb, and of course, he had the ability to grow great flowing white beard and mustache, so he looked Hebrew. And still very famous today, very notable today, has a great following worldwide today. But it's a deception, you know, because they want it now, and they're trusting in their Hebrew roots, and they make up a genealogy, and they say, well, this is, I don't believe them. They think the Lord has revealed it to them when it's come out of their own heart. They deceive themselves into thinking somehow that they are a Jew by blood, and somehow they hope in the flesh, and they lead others astray. Zephaniah agrees here that, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yahuwah and serve him with one consent. That doesn't happen, and I'm not looking forward to that until he returns. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. And yes, you know, I agree that, you know, with these people, these practitioners on some things, they got to have some things right. But when they're trusting in their own genealogies and their Hebrewness and their, and the garb they wear, and they're trusting in the flesh, they invent a new Hebrew identity. They invent a genealogy and plant themselves into it, and they trust that they are part of the genealogy of the true Israel. All I can say is, I may be, and I may not be, and it doesn't matter to me, because the stranger was grafted into Israel. And so the stranger, or the those that are not part of the root of Hebrew blood, not of that seed line of faith that led to the Messiah. I don't know if I am or not, but what I do know, whether I am or not, that the mercy of God makes me part of his true congregation, makes me a part of the remnant, and that I will trust in, and nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. And in that day shalt thou be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed, and amen. Let me be ashamed. Let me be ashamed today in all the things wherein I have transgressed him, and anything wherein I have will continue until he comes. Any transgression, let me be ashamed. Let me be numbered among those who stand in that day and can look back and see the error of my ways and give thanks to God. He says, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Saying they were trusting in their position in him. They were haughty because they were the Jewish nation, the people of God. They were the Yahudi of the earth. He said, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Yeah, let me be numbered. Oh, Heavenly Father, let us be numbered among your remnant today, as the remnant of Israel in that day. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time, I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity from before your eyes." So there's a duality going on here. It's a symbolical and a literal message here in this third chapter of Zephaniah that can be applied symbolically to the church and God's people at all time, applying symbolically to the reward of the millennial kingdom that we have to come when Jesus returns and destroys that mystery Babylon images or judges all the nations and sets up us, his people, in that time. All of the promises of God will be ours. And he talks about bringing them back, the literal, bringing them back from the captivity that they are going into, because that time of captivity is coming upon Israel. And though many of God's people, of that remnant of that day, are going to be caught up in the judgment and taken captive into Babylon, they should remain faithful even in the captivity and teach their children well, that they may be those that are spoken of returning from the captivity to the Lord in their descendants. All the promises of God are ours if we will repent and walk in his kingdom. That's the message from Zephaniah for us today. We see the judgment of Babylon and Sodom and Gomorrah in the nations coming all around us. We heed the word like those faithful, like the remnant did, and they fled to the outskirts of Jerusalem. They fled to the coastal places, the wilderness places, to escape the judgment that was coming on the land. So if you're in the big city, escape. Leave the big city. Go out to the country. Go to the places where the farmlands, where they grow food. Flee to the mountains, as he instructed those in the days that the Messiah was walking upon the earth in the first 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. And he told them that when you see these things, flee. He said, when it comes, don't turn back for your coat. Woe to them that give suck in those days, to those that have children. What he was saying is, don't wait to the last minute. You know, pack the babies, pack plenty of provision and flee the land before the judgment comes. And he gave them 40 years from the time that the desolation, the abomination that maketh desolate was set up, and then the armies that compassed about Jerusalem, the signs just increased from that time, from the time of his crucifixion, and then them restoring the sacrifice for sin, even though the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. They just went on. They made the necessary repairs so they could carry on. Now what would be an unlawful sacrifice, an abomination? And the desolation followed 40 years later in 70 AD, the time of Jacob's trouble. Yet 3.5 years, the Messiah rose from the dead. He appeared to hundreds. He appeared to his apostles and many disciples in the city there. He set the captives free. Many came out of the graves and spoke to their family and their descendants and warned them. Yes, from the grave. Imagine that. It's spoken of there in the Gospels of the judgment to come. So we are in. You know, that was the time of Jacob's trouble for national Israel in the flesh, that 40-year period. We are in the 40-year period now, the time of Jacob's trouble of the end. And we are to speak to the flesh, to the nominal church around us, because that's what Jacob represented. It represented the flesh. God gave him a new name, Israel, the man of the spirit. So when he said the time of Jacob's trouble, that was the nation of Israel, the visible church on earth, were God's people. They were the church in name only. They were nominal. They continued with the sacrifice, not receiving the Messiah. the true sacrifice that he had for that nation. That was the time of Jacob's trouble, because they missed their Messiah. While the remnant fled, they followed the words of the Messiah, and they obediently learned to walk in his kingdom, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, following the instruction of the Spirit, learning to be led by the Spirit. And it's only if you follow, if you repent, if you carry your cross and walk that narrow road, that you are being led by the Spirit. And only then will you hear what the Spirit says when he says to leave where you're at, if you are to leave, and find that place of haven where you can endure the judgment to come on a wicked and adulterous world and nation around you. Yes, fear and tremble, and repent, and rest in the rest of the Lord. Because he says, ye that are weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. You don't need to fear. He says here, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not. And to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So we want to find that rest that only comes in him. And by being led by his Spirit, we know that we can reach that place of safety. And even in death, we can know the safety of walking in his Spirit and being led by his Spirit, and the assurance that all of the promises of God are ours, and the reward for the labor that we have sowed into his kingdom will be waiting for us. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Subscribe there. Take advantage of the free ebook tab there and follow the instructions. May the Almighty bless you each and every day as you walk in his kingdom until he comes.